you stepped, like, a little bit closer out of here. Perfect.
You are my hiding place and my shield. I trust your word. Psalms 119, 114. The scriptures are as relevant today as they were then.
Nice job, sailor. I love it. These kids are taking over, which is exactly what we want, isn't it? Well, good morning and Merry Christmas to you. We are, every week I get more Merry Christmases when I say that, because we're getting closer and closer to time, which is awesome. Hey, we're about to start a series on hope, 2 weeks, but before we do that, I want to reiterate a couple announcements, and then also tell you about a couple more. Number one, Christmas Eve service is here at 4 o'clock on next Tuesday, so that'll give you time to get wherever you want to go for Christmas Eve dinner or get some presents wrapped, stuff like that. So we'll start at 4 o'clock Christmas Eve. Women of Grace this Tuesday at 7. A couple new announcements. Number one, we mentioned this a few weeks back, but January 5th, several families are coming together, and Revive Church is having its very first meeting, and that'll be at noon on January 5th. A couple things there. Number one, would you just pray for Revive Church as they get started, to start off foundationally the right way? And then also, if you know somebody, man, maybe they haven't given Jesus a chance in a long time, and they're looking for this unique opportunity to maybe get back into church, this could be it. And if you're a guest here in at Grace Meadows, you know, you feel like maybe this isn't the right fit, I'd encourage you, try out Revive Church. Again, January 5th, they'll meet for several months in this building at noon until their building at ASP is ready. Also, January 11th, men's breakfast is back, 8:30 in the restaurant. Men, mark that on your calendars, January 11th. Again, that's going to be for Grace Meadows or Revive Church, both. Lastly, January 12th, the following day, is GMC 101. All right, so if you are someone who's looking to partner with Grace Meadows Church, stay after church that day on January 12th. Lunch will be provided. There will be a sign-up that goes out with that as well. Also, just a reminder, this is the last midweek until January 8th. All right, so come out this week. You'll hear budgeting, but you also hear about kind of vision for 2025. So that's all the announcements I've got. Let's pray, and then we'll get into the message, all right? Father, right now I just pray for those kids. Pray for the teachers. I pray that your spirit will just dwell deeply in that building right now. I pray that you'll help these kids, like Crystal said, just to fall in love with you and just give everything to you, align with your ways. And Father, in this room, Holy Spirit, just be so active. May you help us coming out of this series to be a people who are just filled to the brim with hope, because our hope is in you. Father, work in this place. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, so last year we went through an Advent series. We went through hope, peace, joy, and love, and we thought that was a great series, but the problem is, we kind of took a step back and we said, the problem is there's a lot more to each one of these than just 1 week. So what we wanted to do is just take that first one and take 2 weeks to just dive into hope. What is hope? Well, a couple weeks ago, we defined hope as the anticipation of good. Now, as we get started in this, I want to lay the groundwork of some biblical terms. And this will get a bit academic for like the next 5 minutes, but stay with me because it's going to frame the rest of our time. See, hope and faith are different. Although hope is rooted in faith, faith is more about confidence in the truth, while hope is anticipation of that truth happening. Faith is what we are confident in to be true. Hope is anticipating what we are confident to be true. That makes sense? So like, if your mom says, tomorrow we're going to the candy store, all right? Faith would be, I believe her. I believe that that's going to happen. Why? Because to this point, I've been able to trust my mom. And if she makes these promises about going to the candy store, why would I not trust her? I have faith in that, right? But then hope would be, I'm getting pumped about that idea. I can't wait to go to the candy store. Maybe I'm going to go ahead and pack my bags, and I'm going to start thinking about, you know, the candy and all that kind of stuff. Like, you get this joy, this anticipation, this pumped up spirit about it. That is what hope is. See, faith is the anchor, but we don't want to live without hope, because if we do, then we just start going through the motions of life. We start just waiting on eternity one day. You know what I mean? I mean, we just start saying, I know God can do anything, right? And yet, I'm really just waiting until that fullness comes one day in eternity. And instead of looking and being filled with hope, we just lack that anticipation. Now, you can't have hope that fulfills unless you first have faith. Faith is that anchor. A couple other notes. Number one, anticipation and celebration have to go together, right? If I don't reflect on good, then I'm certainly not going to look for good. And if I'm not looking for good, then I'm certainly not going to celebrate and notice when good happens. These things have to go hand in hand. That's why things like hope and gratitude are inextricably linked. So if you find yourself not being hopeful, you might have to ask the other side of it. Do I notice when good happens? Do I celebrate when good happens? See, for some reason, I think we can be a culture that just kind of expects good to happen. And so then we don't anticipate it. We don't get excited about it. And then, consequently, we also don't celebrate it. We also don't notice it. We also don't show gratitude for it. But these two terms are critical to the life of the believer. Anticipation and celebration go together. Now, number two, last note before we kind of get into the passage. I want us to have an entirely clear picture of what hope is before we move forward. Hope is not a wish. It's also not optimism. A wish might be rooted in something good, but it might just be about what we want. And we certainly aren't anticipating a wish coming true, right? I just flip a penny in the wishing well, and then I just move on with my life thereafter. Or I make a wish, I blow out the candles, and then I eat the cake, and I move on with my life. So hope is much more substantive than a wish. It's also much more substantive than optimism. See, you should be optimistic to a degree, but there are times where optimism fades. You should be optimistic about certain things. That's a good and right thing. The problem is, circumstances won't always work out in our favor of those things we're optimistic about. But hope is much more substantive than that. See, hope is a certainty. We know the end from the beginning. Because Jesus got up out of the grave, we know the end from the beginning. See, hope is anticipating good to come regardless of circumstances, because we already know how it works out. To personify hope for a second, I just imagine hope one day in eternity says, "See, I told you so. I told you everything was going to be okay. I told you there was nothing to worry about. I told you you could get your hopes up." Why? Because in the end, we know that we can anticipate good, because the fullness of good comes at the end of the day. We can proclaim that hope will be vindicated totally one day. So, we can get our hopes up in the name of Jesus. And I know that hope is tricky. I mean, you put your hope in the wrong thing and you can be left pretty disappointed. And that's why we don't put our hope in the things that pass away. We put our hope in the one who got up out of the grave. So, a question I want us to chew on today is this. Do you have hope, or do you just simply have faith? Now, see, faith is our anchor. Faith is what we have to have. But have you stopped looking for good to come? Maybe you've stopped looking for the supernatural. Maybe you've just started waiting on eternity one day. Maybe you've said, "I know God is going to make all things new one day." But you've stopped looking out the window for him to do that. Maybe you've said, "I know that God wants to have revival. I know that everything, his kingdom will be here on earth as it is in heaven one day in fullness, but I'm not really looking for God to make those things happen." We know Jesus is coming back one day, but we stop looking in that night sky in wonder and awe at the possibility that maybe this could happen tonight. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 1. We're going to look at a story from Luke 1 and Luke 2 that really illustrates this idea of faith on one hand, and then on the other hand, faith and hope working together. Now, as we turn to Luke chapter 1, I want to say it's hard for me to be negative about Zacharias, so I'm really not trying to do that here, all right? But there's a certain point in his faith that he stopped hoping. The Bible says this in Luke chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. It says, in the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them, now check this, both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all of the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. Now, I don't know how, quote unquote, well you're doing, but I wouldn't say that I am blameless, right? This is, I don't want to discredit them right now. They are a faithful couple right here. They observe God's law. They love God, but I think at a certain point, Zacharias started going through the motions. I mean, it had been 400 years since anybody had heard from Jesus or from God, right? And so he's like going into the temple. He's like, you know, it's my turn, whatever, but not really expecting God to show up. Verse 8. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he's born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit of power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." It never fails that I laugh at that. Smart dude right there. That's how you have a good marriage for a long time. I'm old, but her, she's not old. She's just well along in years. Verse 19, the angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at the appointed time." All right, so here's the point. Zechariah knew the scriptures as well as anyone. He was confident in who God was. He was a man of faith, but somewhere along the way, there's so many people, even the religious leaders, who just stopped anticipating and looking out that window and getting excited about the thing God might do next. And maybe for some of us, let's do some self-reflection. Maybe we're just kind of going through the motions. You know, we're being obedient, we're continuing to have faith, but yet we don't anticipate God doing good things now, in our lives now. We just wait, we just punch the clock, and we just wait on eternity one day. But God wants us to be a people who are filled with hope. So, the angel has Zechariah be silent. Now, I don't know about you, but I begin to see things much more clearly when I am silent. I start to remember in celebration and reflect in nostalgia the things that God has already done in my life. And remember what I said at the beginning about how anticipation and celebration go hand in hand. So Zechariah has these few months where he can just sit and reflect and ponder and celebrate the things that God has done so that it will prepare him to anticipate the things to come with this son that the angel has promised to Zechariah. And during that time, you got to imagine, he starts to give God the glory. He says, "Wow, something really special just happened." And then he They're asking what the name of the child's going to be. And he writes on that tablet, he says, his name is going to be John. As in, he has faith in what the angel has said, and now he's excitedly anticipating what's next. Now, flash forward to Luke chapter 2. This is a man named Simeon. And this is a man who was filled with hope, starting in verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. It's another definition of hope, is waiting with anticipation. And the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. So the dude, he goes into the temple courts. And we don't know how often. This could have been the first time, or he could have been going into the temple courts many times, just anticipating the day that the Messiah comes. Why? Because the Lord has promised that that would happen. And I just imagine if he's going into the temple courts each day, people are asking him, hey, what are you doing here? And he says, oh, I'm waiting on that Messiah. You got to think, some people were thinking, this dude is weird. Even though God has promised, right? If you read the Old Testament, you know that there is a coming Messiah. And yet, you've got Zechariah, who's going through the motions and not expecting to see God. And then you have Simeon, even in his old age, after time and time again of coming into the temple and not seeing the Messiah, he still holds on to that hope that one day the Messiah will come. He excitedly anticipates that good will happen. Do we excitedly anticipate that good will happen? You know, at a certain point in our faith, the older we get, we think, like, kind of logic takes over, which is ironic to me because I think logic actually comes back around and dictates that we should get our hopes up, that there is fulfillment in Jesus, but there's something in us that starts to get a little civilized in our faith. You know, we just wait on eternity one day. And we just go through the motions and we stop looking out the window and going, man, I can't wait to see what God is doing next. But not Simeon. Simeon, even in his old age, when all the wisdom and stuff comes, you know, you get the gray hairs and wisdom starts coming in a little bit. Even then, he continues to hope. Do we continue to hope? There's a movie called Angels in the Outfield. Who's seen it? The 90s movie, more than I thought. Good, okay, this may register to you. There's a kid in that movie named JP, foster kid, and he would have that famous line in it of, who remembers it? Hey, it could happen. Hey, it could happen. Y'all remember that? Someone would tell him, hey, JP, you're probably not going to get adopted tomorrow, and he'd say, hey, it could happen. And then, you know, the baseball team, the Angels, are down, you know, a ton of runs and stuff. And they're like, JP, you know, they're probably not going to come back. They're probably going to lose this one. He goes, no, hey, it could happen, right? And he's just filled with this hope. And the movie actually ends with JP, in fact, being adopted. He gets this loving father in it. It's just a beautiful moment where JP lands in his arms and sits in his lap, and it's this wonderful moment of the hey, it could happen actually becomes a reality. And by the way, that's the same reason we can have hope and anticipate good to come. Why? Because we have been adopted into the family of God. We have a father who so graciously made a way for us into his family. And so now we can just sit in his lap and go, wow, Father, I can't wait to see what it is that you've got next. Because of the cross, because of the resurrection, we can anticipate good to come. Why? Because our faith anchors us. We know what we've seen. And if he's conquered the grave, then everything's on the table at that point. Do we excitedly anticipate good? Maybe at some point we had that same hope that JP had. But somewhere along the way, we lose that hope, not because God ever failed us, but because we had put our hope in the wrong things. A relationship not working out, a job, a diagnosis, and on, and of course, all those things fail and fade. But in the name of Jesus, there are always, always, always good things ahead. So we can put our hope up in his name. What does that look like? Micah 7, verse 7 says this. It says, but as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior. My God will hear me. You know, like the kid who looks up in the night sky on Christmas Eve thinking, wow, I wonder what's going to happen next. Or like the prodigal son, the story of the father, you know, he runs to greet him. And how does he know that he's there? Well, probably he's been looking out that window every day waiting and saying, is this the day that my son comes home? He had hope that this could be the day. Have we stopped looking out the window? Have we stopped anticipating good things ahead? Have we stopped going into the temple courts like Simeon does, saying, is this the day that the Messiah comes? We should look into every single day with the anticipation of hope to come, and we should dream big. We should say things like, why can't God meet every single need in our area? Why not? The dude who got up out of the grave, why not? Why can't this be the day that revival in our area happens? Why not? Why can't this be the day that unity within the church happens across all churches in our country and across the globe? Why not? Because JP was right. It could happen. The angel says to Mary, nothing shall be impossible with God. So dream big. Why not? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. Help that faith in who you are, the promises that have already been fulfilled, the cross, the resurrection, the things you've done, the provisions over our lives. Father, help that faith to just anchor us, to just sit in that to the point where we say, yeah, because of that, I trust you. Because of that, I know that there are more good things ahead. And so I'm going to orient my life to the fact that I anticipate good things ahead. Father, would you help make us a people of hope? There are so many people who have been burdened and they've grown numb to hope. Father, we know that we can get our hopes up in your name, and that hope will always be fulfilled. So, Father, make us a people of hope here today. Father, we love you so very much. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, let's stand and worship.